Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and it's a great day out. And if you're thinking, gosh, I just saw you in that exact same hairstyle and that exact same shirt with that exact same mug just in yesterday's lesson, that's because I decided to go ahead and just record these lessons back to back today. And so who knows? I might even just record day three, and you'll see me again with the exact same stuff on, because I don't know if I want to do my hair again today. Sometimes I'll just change it and record. Anyway, point being, glad you're here. And if you just saw my brief little commercial about jumping in on this Bible study, hey, good for you. You're here. We're having a great time going through the book of Acts. This is lesson three, and we're on day two. Grab your Bible, grab your coffee, your tea, your water, whatever it is that you're drinking, and join us. Grab a friend. If you're joining with a group, I know some of you do these lessons together with other friends. Grab hands around your table, and let's just pray together. If you're by yourself, grab hands with me, and let's pray and invite God into our time together right now. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time that we have in your word. And we ask that you would give us wisdom as we study through it today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're in your group of friends, everyone said, hallelujah, amen. All right. Okay, let's hop over. I'm going to switch screens for you so you can see the study. And again, as always, you can go ahead and download these on my blog, jennifergrichmond.com, under the Bible Studies and Devotionals page there. So click through and you can find it. Hello. And or just open up your page if you happen to have it with you. Again, we're on lesson three. This is day two. And as always, we open with prayer and get right into the word. We are memorizing we're memorizing Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And guess what I remembered to do? Write it down. I got my post-it note here. And so I write it on my post-it notes because it really does help me. This last week, I stuck it on my pencil sharpener. I know I use old school pencils, but I stuck it on my pencil sharpener in my office, and it was super convenient. Maybe I should stick it. I'm going to stick it right. Can you see it if I stick it right there? I'm going to stick it right there today, right behind me. Now you can't read that at all, I know, but I'll see it if I turn around. I mean, if I stuck it where I could see it right now, I guess I'd stick it right there. And then you really couldn't see it. And you couldn't see me. All right. Acts 4, 11 through 12. Let's go ahead and say that. Oh, I guess I need this. I'm going to read it off my note here. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4, 11 through 12. I'll just put it right here on my coffee mug. Okay, moving along, we are writing each day through the word, and today is adding a couple of verses, Acts 3, 14 through 15. At the end of this lesson page, you will see the write the word pages. You should have written by now Acts 3, 12 through 12 and 13. Yeah, 12 and 13. And today is 14 and 15. And so make sure you take time to pause right now. Hit that pause button. All right, really hit that pause button and come back in just a second and after you've written the write the word pages. Go ahead. I know some of you did and some of you did not. I'm watching. Wouldn't it be great if I could somehow? No, I can't. But anyway, write your verses out. And then hopping back over here, we're going to read today Acts 2, 40 through 47, which means we're backing up a bit and then getting a running start on this the scripture for this lesson, which is really from 42 on. We're going to add two more verses to that. Let's hop over there to the scripture and read that together. And with many other words, he bore witness. Remember, this is Peter. And continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I already know what we're going to be covering today, and I'm just going to tell you right now, we could have spent the entire lesson on just this chunk of verses. The entire lesson, all 10 days of it could have been right here on these verses. So you're going to see today that it's going to be a little more questions and a little more engaging time for you than last week's set of days and their lesson was. But it was all I could do. I mean, there was so much to cover here. Let's hop back over and we'll start in and see it. All right. So moving forward in Acts, look for the fulfillment of Acts 1:8, the verse you memorized last lesson. In every passage, look for that. Remember, this is where Jesus gives them the great commission, basically, that in the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel message is going to start in Jerusalem, move to Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So consider, as you read, how the Holy Spirit is empowering and how the disciples are being witnesses for Jesus. This was Jesus' word. This is what we memorized in our last lesson. Look and think about that as we're going through our study for this entire study. All right, so here we go. What actions do you see the disciples doing in this new community? What actions do you see? Well, they're devoted. They are devoted to prayer, but I'm going to focus on the actions because we know the receiving of the action, if you think grammatically, that they were devoted to prayer is the receiving part. They were devoted. They were breaking what? Bread. There was wonders and signs that were being done. There's an action. Having what? All things in common. Selling what? Possessions. Distributing what? Well, the proceeds from the things that they had sold. Attending what? The temple. Receiving what? Food. How are they receiving it? With glad and generous hearts. And they were praising. Who were they praising? God. They were having favor. With whom were they having favor? All people. So some of you recall from grammar grade school, reading and learning your grammar lessons. I want you to think like that and try to get back to that if you can as you're studying God's word. It's one thing just to read and have your devotions from God's word. It's another to become a student. In order to become a good student, you need to know how words work as phrases and in sentences and in paragraphs and so on. So it's going to be helpful to understand your nouns, your verbs, your adjectives, your adverbs, your prepositions, and your conjunctions. Those are the main parts of speech, if you'll recall. Or maybe you're working with a kid right now in a grade school who's learning all those things again. So we'll brush up on those as we go through this lesson. Right now, we're focusing on the verbs. So what action does the Lord do? So if we go back through and we think about that, the Lord does something. All these things that the disciples are doing, and the Lord does something. What does it say? He says he was adding to their number day by day. So the Lord's action was adding. Adding what? Adding to their number. Oh, I got this hair that is just driving me crazy. He was adding to their number how often? Day by day. Super exciting. And of course, those are some of the types of questions you can be asking as you start to do your own study as well. So why do you think awe came upon every soul? Who would be included in every soul? Read that verse in a different translation to get some clarity as needed. So let's go ahead and take a look up here and we'll do what we've done before with Bible Gateway and open up different versions so you can see it. I'll give it a second because it's scrolling around. Hopefully my internet's not being, it is being slow. It's not wanting to update that. Let's see, day by day, breaking bread in their homes, and awe came upon every soul. Come on. Really? Really? You don't want to update? Oh, great. You know, technology is such a blessing that we can be here together doing this Bible study, and then not so much. Oh, here we go. It's adding the NIV. Super slowly. All right. Now I've forgotten what verse we're going to focus on. Who would be included with every soul? Awe came on every soul. Awe at the many wonders performed. Everyone was filled. I kind of like the way the ESV says, awe came upon every soul. NIV, which is the difference between ESV and NIV, just real quick, is ESV is word for word translation. It's going to take the Greek and it's going to bring the words into English, right? The NIV, the New International Version, is a thought for thought. So it's going to take the Greek and then bring forward into the English the concept or the idea that it's trying to promote. And NIV is faithful, just like ESV as well, but it can give you a different concept. So when the when an ESV translates it, every soul, it's because it literally says that in the Greek, every soul. Let's do one other version. I think this might be the New Century. For Pete's sake, it's going so slow. I'm just going to hop back over here and move on and let it chug along and do its own thing so that we can move on with our lesson. All right, number four. We'll get back to that in a minute. What impact did this devotion to one another have on their personal finances? Well, what did they do? What was the, here they have this devotion, this enthusiasm. What do they end up doing? I know you're thinking about it. I know you've got it written down probably, but they sold their belongings, didn't they? And then they used those proceeds from selling their belongings to support one another. What a concept. What a fabulous thing for the church to just do. To just look around our homes today and to see the surplus of supplies and belongings that we have. What if we did that today? What if we actually took inventory of our own homes and said, Lord, I don't need all this stuff. What can I put out there on the market, have a garage sale, have a yard sale, combine funds with people, and then whatever proceeds I get from that, I just turn it over and give it, just give it back to the people who need it in our church and in our community. That's what they were doing. That's pretty amazing. Or you can see it chugging along up there and trying to go. Okay. So where were these early believers going daily? Oh, it finally came up. And it was the Christian Standard Version, by the way. They devoted themselves to apostles, breaking bread, filled with, everyone was filled with awe. So there we got the word everyone there. Okay. So where were they going? What does it say? They were going to the temple. I'm going to try to find that verse. All of them going to the temple, attending the temple together. This was part of the regular habits that any good Jewish observant Jew would be doing anyway. They would be going to the temple. That's what they did every day. Sacrifices were being offered every day in the temple, and that's what they were doing. So why were they there? Well, they were doing what they normally did. That's all they knew. This is what they did, and they were probably getting better at it. Maybe they didn't always were as faithful as going every day, but now they're really faithful. People who didn't live in Jerusalem couldn't go to the temple every day because, well, the temple wasn't there. Maybe they would go to their local teaching area, the synagogues, but they would not go to the temple. But these believers did. Why? Because I think because that's what they normally should have been doing, going to the temple every day. And now they're really excited to do it because they know other people are going to be there who are going to need to hear this new word that they have, that Jesus Christ has come and has fulfilled all the prophecies. How would you describe the emotional and social tone in this passage? Why do you think it was that way? Well, we've got some good clue of the emotional and social tone. They were praising God, having favor with the people. We've got words like generous of heart. And I think the King James says they have a simplicity of heart in the King James. Why do you think? What words would you describe of what's going on in this passage? Write those down and let me know what you're thinking there. Drop those in the comment. All right, what are the top two things Luke says they were devoted to? What are the top two things that Luke says that they were devoted to? They were devoted to prayer and the breaking of bread, I think it was. Let me hop back over to the verse. I'm kind of forgetting. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. So the top two things, devoted fellowship and the apostles' teaching. What are the next two things listed that they were devoted to? All right. Well, the next two, I didn't show you the screen. The next two things that they are devoted to, aside from that, is the breaking of the bread and hop back over to the verse. Let me get rid of those so it opens up my screen a little better. Oh, it's going to take forever to upload. Refresh. Anyway, the top two devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship. And then next two is breaking bread and the prayers. Breaking bread and the prayers. Why do you think Luke lists apostles' teaching first? Why not the miracles? They were experiencing those, or the selling of possessions. They were devoted to that, or any number of the things that was going on. Why teaching? Well, I think, and always, if it's a personal opinion question, always pause. Don't listen to my thoughts first. So hit that pause button and jot down your own thoughts. Or I know some of you actually complete the entire lesson and then come back and listen to me talk through it. But if you don't already have it done, please pause. Please write your own thoughts down. All right. Well, I assume you're welcome back. Why do you think it's going like this? Because it's the teaching that sets our mind straight. And from that thought process, things grow out of that mindset. So for example, if I wake up in the morning and I have read a good article on how to eat more healthy, I might be reading the ingredients on labels better. I'm getting more information up here. Then it affects what I do, and I'm not going to, you know, eat that junk food anymore. I'm going to change the way I cook things because I've learned a better way. I get the good teaching up here and it changes the way my lifestyle goes. So teaching comes first. The word comes first. The information up here comes first. And then that's what impacts our life. All right. So review Acts 2, 38 through 42. And I'm so sorry, my internet's being so slow. Of course, this is the day I don't actually sit down with my Bible right here so I can just look into it. I should have done that. Let's see. Let me see if I can try something. I think I can hit this pause button. Ooh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to hit pause and come right back with my Bible. I'll be right back. Hang on. Okay. And I have to move this a little bit. Hopefully I move it in a way that you can still hear me well enough, but that's just silly. My internet's going so slow. I'm going to hop back over to the share button to see if it's caught up with me yet. No, it's spiraling still, for crying out loud. All right, here we go. Acts 2, 38 to 42. Got my Bible. We're going to read it. Old school, right? So we have, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord calls, our Lord our God, calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. So there's our review. What had Peter told them to do in verse 38? Repent, all right, and be baptized. Hold on. There we go. Repent and be baptized, he says. Repent and be baptized. And what had they done? What had they done? Well, they were baptized, for sure. Verse 41. About how many were baptized? And they repented, of course, as well. That goes without saying. But how many were baptized? Well, we have our number. 3,000 were baptized. So go back and circle that phrase, 3,000 souls in verse 41, then draw a line and connect it to they in verse 42. Go ahead and do that. I've already done it here in my Bible, just right next to each other. Remember, we're using the English Standard Version, so if you're reading it from a different translation, your wording might be a little bit different there. All right, so here's our big concept review, The new fellowship of believers were converted and needed to take their next steps in the faith. Well, what are the first of those steps? Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' what? Teaching. All right, so good for you, by the way. I kind of tried to hit this point twice, you might have noticed in this study today, because I want us to know how the early church valued teaching. And if we're going to mimic the early church, if we're going to be like the early church, then that's what we should be doing too. If we're going to be like that, I want what they had, we got to do what they did, right? So here we go. How is Acts 1:8 being fulfilled? You will be my witnesses in today's passage. Well, they are being God's witnesses. Again, pause before you listen to my answer, but you know, write your own. But they are being God's witnesses, right? They're actually out there speaking and teaching, and they're being a witness in their community about how they're living their lives. What about you? How is Acts being fulfilled right now in your life today? Acts 1:8. Are you living this out? Because we're part of the ends of the earth group, right? That's where the gospel has reached for us. Are you living in that way yourself today? Are you living that Acts 1:8 for yourself today? That's where we should be. That's what we should be. That's what I want. So I don't know about you, but as I read this passage, I get a longing in my heart. I can't help thinking, I want that. I want what they had, devotion to teaching, fellowshipping with the believers, with the wonders and signs going on. You might think that their devotion would have been to seeing more of that, and probably some of them were there for the miracles. But what I found most compelling in the description of this brand new church was their devotion to teaching. They had no Bible, no collection of writings like the New Testament, like you and I do. In fact, the teaching they were devoted to wasn't even Paul's. He hadn't even been converted yet. They were getting their teaching from the apostles who had walked with Jesus and seen the resurrection firsthand. From Peter, James, John, and the other nine apostles at this point, these fresh followers of Christ, who didn't even have a group name yet, they weren't called Christians until Acts 11, are getting fed and then turning around and feeding literally and spiritually others. That's what I want. I want it in my life, a thirst for teaching. And I want it in your life as well. I want a church that thirsts for the essential truths about God. I want a church, and I want to be that church who catches the passion from the example, the witness of these first new believers. I wasn't there in Jerusalem, but I'm so thankful that their message went from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and beyond. Thank God, really and truly, thank God for the great good news of the gospel. Wow. All right. So that concludes our day. I shouldn't move that mic too far. That concludes lesson 3, day 2. So glad that you've been here with me today. I hope to see you, hear from you soon. And make sure you check in, say hi, tell me something you're learning or appreciating about this study, and definitely invite a friend to join you, right? Don't let anybody say, oh, I got other things going on, or it's too late, I've already got started. Ladies, we're going to be in this study until April of 2020. Plenty of time for your friends to join you. So please invite a friend to join you today. I know God's going to put somebody on your heart that you should be thinking about. If you've made it through to the end of this talk here today, maybe you're thinking about it already. All right. God bless you. As always, know that you are loved and prayed for. I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.